Gary, you're watching the Monster Truck Outlaws of the West podcast, covering monster trucks on the West Coast, far and wide. Gentlemen, we're back, episode 2, the only Saturday night episode we're going to do for a very long time. We're going to keep our episodes every Friday night. We have another episode coming up next Friday night, and if you want to know what that is, stay tuned for the end of the stream, because it's going to be a good one. And, you know, MJ, how do you feel tonight?
I'm doing great, man. It's been a long day, but I'm excited to be here. We got already a great amount of people watching us, which is awesome for the only Saturday episode we're going to do for a while. Like Vincent said, all our episodes are going to be Friday nights, 6 p.m. Pacific time. But yeah, next episode is going to be a good one. Make sure you guys tune into the end, but we'll get to that later. But yeah, how have you been, Vincent?
You know, I've been pretty good, man. But, you know, a thing we want to do at the start of the podcast is we want to wear different, you know, Monster Truck shirts every weekend. I'm repping Goldberg. What are you repping? Oh, yeah. I bet if Cam Miguez is watching, he's going to be happy about that.
Okay. You were talking about
from MonsterCast. Oh, yeah. I need a bounty shirt. I don't have one. But anyway, you know, we want to keep the podcast short and keep it down to 1 hour, but you know, let's talk about some of our sponsors. I know MJ, every time we do a podcast, he's been sipping on Rogue Energy. So, you know, MJ, let's hear a little bit about Rogue Energy.
Yeah, for sure. Rogue is actually a supplement. It's meant to enhance your focus and make you feel a little more energized throughout the day. You know, I usually take it. I've just been starting drinking it when the podcast starts, just to kind of keep me up, you know, because I go to work throughout the day, and then I come back, and, you know, I need something to pick me up. But yeah, all 18 active ingredients, they all play a role in keeping you as focused as can be and as energized as you need to be. As you guys can see down there on the screen below, we do have a promo code. Don't forget to use that at checkout. It is MTOutlaws10. That'll get you 10% off your order.
Oh, for sure. And, you know, we're all about fan and viewer interaction here at the podcast. So if you have any questions for our guests, feel free to drop them down. You know what? Without further ado, you know, let's show, you know, there's a lot of merchandise. I'm wearing some Goldberg merchandise. But, you know, we're about supporting the West Coast Monster Trucks. So, you know, a great merchandise, you know, for Monster Trucks on the West Coast would be Warhead Mason Minner. Oh, yeah. So let's check out some of their merchandise.
Hey guys, Mason here, driver of the Warhead. Come check out our full merchandise line. We have merch for everybody.
Hoodies, t-shirts, hats, you name it, they got it right for you. You can DM them at Warhead Monster on Instagram and get yourself some merch. Definitely a great product. I'd give it a buy. You know, I'll give it a purchase. 100%. Support the West, Monster Trucks on the West. I mean, what else can you do? But, you know, talking about the West, this guy's been on the West Coast for a while. He's, you know, worked for Bill Payne. He's done a lot in this industry. I like to call him the jack of all trades. I think the only thing he hasn't done is promote a show. I could be wrong. He might have. I don't know. But here's our guest, Dallas Glenn Rogers. Dallas, welcome aboard on the podcast. I see you're in your office right now. What has Dallas Glenn Rogers been doing during quarantine? Dallas, you with us?
Beauties of live broadcasting.
I think there's a delay.
There could be.
I think he's
What's
not
up, guys? You know, it's been crazy for everybody. I mean, realistically, it doesn't matter who you are. This affects everyone. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, Dallas, I think there's just a huge delay. I think sitting in your truck might be hurting your connection or something.
I hear you guys. Me? Find a better place to get better service, maybe get a stronger connection.
No worries.
Oh, boy.
But yeah, Dallas has been with Bill. You know, he's worked on a lot of trucks. He's been everywhere. There really isn't somewhere he hasn't been. But yeah, I'm excited for this episode.
I'm excited for sure.
To talk to Dallas. We got... you know, great guy. I'm excited. I'm really excited, honestly, to get more insight on him and where
he's
coming from.
For sure. And, you know, this is a special episode with Dallas, is it being only Saturday night episode. And, you know, he's you know, at the trailer right now, and it gives you viewers the opportunity to see what it's like backstage. And the haulers, you don't really get that opportunity to see what it's like. But I know we got almost 30 viewers on Facebook right now. I don't know about Instagram or YouTube, I mean, but – we're mainly here on Facebook. If you're watching on YouTube right now, you can go watch on Facebook. That's mainly where we're going to be pulling the comments from. So if you want a question to be answered for Dallas, you can just go there. So we're going to bring Dallas on, see if this connection is a little bit better. Dallas, you with us?
Guys, so decided to move somewhere else, see if the connection was a little bit stronger. Can you guys hear me now?
I can hear you loud and clear. Can you hear us?
I hear you guys perfectly.
All righty, sweet. So, Dallas, I mean, what have you been doing during quarantine?
Well, yeah, I've been fortunate enough to be able to stay busy. I mean, Bill's always got projects going on here at the shop. And if anyone knows Bill, there's always stuff being done. And right now, everything from working on trailers to yard work, there's always something to do to keep busy. And no matter what, I mean, during these times, keeping busy, that's really the only thing that people can do to keep from going crazy.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, if I'm not busy with a project or anything, it's really hard for me to, you know, keep my focus. But, you know, there's a lot of drivers are doing a lot of different things to keep their mindset back when this corona crap goes away. So, you know, it's been hard. But what have you been doing? Like, have you been, you know, driving the truck around? What do you do to get your monster truck fixed while on quarantine?
You know, that's the toughest thing is without doing any shows. I mean, right now, more than anything, I just want to tire up the truck and find a place to go rip around and start jumping. I mean, since the show in Saskatoon, I've revalved the shock, so I want to know how that feels. I've done some tuning, so I want to know how responsive the throttle is and all these things. I just want to basically test it out and just have fun with it, because I mean, everyone's having monster truck withdrawals right now.
Oh, for sure. And going on to our big first question, Christopher Allen asks, "Hi Dallas, how did you get involved in the sport, and how did you get together with Bill Payne? Basically, how did you get your start in monster trucks?"
Well, basically, it all started when I was 2 years old. For my second birthday, I got a Power Wheels Bigfoot, and I mean, at 2 years old, that's the coolest toy ever. And after that, only toys I ever wanted was monster truck toys. And when I was two, I also got to see my first monster truck show. And like so many people at that age, I just was like, that's the coolest thing ever. When I grow up, that's what I want to do, is I want to drive monster trucks. And really, I never grew up. So that's been one of the biggest things. And as I was getting older, started really going on like the monstermayhem.org website, message boards, and then Facebook started coming along. But really a lot of it started with just networking and then offering and volunteering help at shows. And eventually, after meeting a bunch of people, going on the road with a few teams, it eventually led to me helping out the Ramers at local shows, Swanson, and then driving a ride truck for Bill Payne and Straight Up Racing when he started expanding from two trucks and getting bigger. And then after that, started driving Fired Up for Kelvin Raymer. Eventually after that, started announcing shows, and it just escalated. And really, monster trucks have been my addiction since I was a little kid. And it's a pretty tough addiction to kick.
Oh, for sure. And I have a question. What's it like? You know, you announce a lot of shows for the Malicious Monster Tour. You've announced for other promoters as well. What's it like hopping in a truck right after you're announcing, you know, you'll announce shows and then Bill maybe have you, you know, drive a truck? You know, what's it like hopping into a truck right after you announce?
Well, usually keep announcing it, monster truck driving, completely separate. It's very rare that I'll do both in one show, but I have before. Really, a lot of fun, and one of the best parts about it is having variety. So things never get old. So one weekend I'll be announcing, having a great time, but always have that itch to drive a monster truck. And so every time I get a chance, it doesn't get old, because it's still something. It's not every single weekend doing the same exact thing over and over. So I think that really helps keep me in the industry and keep me from getting burned out on things, because there's that variety and there's always, every weekend is something new.
Oh, for sure. MJ, what do you got for Dallas?
You know, we're talking about announcing. So what is it like, you know, that first time you got inside in front of a live crowd to announce a show? What was going through your mind? Like, did you have butterflies? Were you like, were you scared? You know, what was that like?
Well, actually, kind of an odd story how announcing started. I mean, it was always in the back of my mind, like, yeah, that'd be something cool to do. But growing up, my passion was really based around wanting to be a monster truck driver. And so, really, I mean, always deep down wanted to announce monster truck shows too. So when I was younger, just that kind of mentality, I thought it was a funny prank when I was like in junior high, going to local grocery stores and get on the store intercom and then say a few things, you know, and chuckle, laugh, run out of the store, hoping not to get caught. And then my first job while I was in high school was actually at a grocery store. And so go figure, every chance I got, I'd get on the store intercom, whether it was for a sale on one product or another. And it kind of got me comfortable with being kind of in front of an audience, even though it was grocery store shoppers. And while I was in high school, I'd pretty much tried my best monster truck announcer impersonation in front of the whole grocery store. And it got to the point where managers loved it. The district and regional managers thought it was so cool and actually boosted sales immensely in the store, just the enthusiasm. And it got to the point when basically every announcement on the store intercom, other employees would call my department and call the customer service counter for me to basically make their announcements for them. And then got real comfortable with it, studied radio broadcasting in college. And after that, when I first started going on the road and doing shows, Jeff Richards, a roller, he kept telling me like, hey man, you got to announce Monster Truck Show sometime. You got the voice for it, the enthusiasm, and you have a huge knowledge of Monster Trucks, been following it since you were a kid. And I'm like, yeah, it'd be cool, but it's not really my thing. I mean, driving Monster Trucks, that's kind of where I'm at. And then next thing you know, Mike Welsh starts saying the same thing. And one thing led to the next. Yeah. I eventually caved in. I'm like, you know, Roller, I kind of want to give this a try. And he's like, perfect. Going to have you in Cottage Grove on this weekend. And then just so happens the week before that was a show Mike Welsh was doing. And he wanted me to announce that show. So it just kind of happened. And after the first few shows, it's like, okay, well, we need you to announce this show here in Williston, North Dakota, this show in Medford, Oregon. We'll have you do this show in Laredo, Texas. And after that, it's just been nonstop.
So you're saying this all started from working at a grocery store?
Pretty much.
That's so awesome. Kind of that's great.
Not really something that most people would expect as a route to get into being a monster truck announcer is working at a grocery store, but it ended up working out.
We all get there somehow.
Oh, for sure. Now, Dallas, what has to be your favorite moment from announcing? You know, you've been doing this a long time. What has to be your favorite moment that you will never forget when announcing a show?
Announcing a show, the coolest thing is the crowd interaction. And basically, I don't want the focus. I don't want people to necessarily remember me at the end of the show, but to remember what the trucks and the drivers are doing out there on the track. So I'm kind of that intermediary, but there's moments in a show where there's, whether it's breakage or something like that, where if the announcer isn't doing anything, it's just downtime. And that's kind of a big goal of myself and then Bill and the whole Malicious Monster Truck Tour. We don't want there to be any downtime. We don't want spectators to be twiddling their thumbs bored. They're paying money to be entertained. And so I love crowd games, whether it's t-shirt tosses, and I have so much fun with the t-shirt tosses. And
it's hard to choose one specific moment to really point out as a favorite. I mean, every show is unique. Every venue has different crowds, whether it's the acoustics of the venue, just the personalities of the crowds. Really a favorite moment. I don't know if it'd be my favorite, but definitely a very memorable moment was one of the t-shirt tosses. It was a dance-off, something I like to do every show, where I have all the kids dance to Shake It Off, and it's fun to choose a kid to give a t-shirt to. But in Stockton last year, gave a kid a t-shirt, and the kid was just so excited, just like tears in his eyes, ran up and gave me a big hug after winning a t-shirt. But just to see that appreciation and how much it meant to that kid, that really is something memorable for me.
Definitely. You know, that's a cool moment for sure. But talking about fan interaction, we have another question from Jeremy. He asks, what's the weirdest fan interaction you've had?
The weirdest fan interaction?
Yeah.
That's a tough one, too. It really does catch me off guard a lot of the times at shows when I'm announcing a show and then running around doing t-shirt tosses or something, and then someone will stop me and then just be like, hey, how's the build a crash test dummy going on? And it always catches me off guard because really don't really expect people to know who I am. I mean, at the beginning of shows, I don't really ever talk about me. I'm there to do my job and to have fun. It's not about being a superstar or anything like that. But then again, yeah, there's always things that catch me off guard. Sometimes there's been spectators that have had too much to drink and they've been disrespectful, which a lot of times is just hilarious. It's like, really? But it's tough to really pinpoint a single moment that's the weirdest fan interaction, but there's been a few.
Oh, for sure.
Those, the ones that are had a little too much, those are always the fun ones.
Yeah. And
yeah. It can be fun, but they can also be really bad, so you never know.
Yeah. It can go both ways.
Yeah, but we're talking about, you mentioned people coming up to you and talking about the build of the crash test dummy. You know, Dallas, how long have you been building this truck?
So the build took about 6 years, start to finish, and it took a lot longer than I expected when I first started. But the end result I'm very happy with, and it's been something... It's been a dream of mine since I was a kid. I've always wanted my own truck, my own identity, and to be able to drive it however I want. Driving other people's monster trucks, there's always kind of that guilt when you break someone else's equipment. It's just like, go out there to have fun, but when you break someone else's equipment, it's like, man, I just cost my friend a bunch of money, and it always, there's that guilt. But with my own truck, if I break anything, the only person I have to get mad at is myself, and no one else is going to be mad at me for breaking my stuff but me. So I think that makes it a little bit more relaxing, or at least so I thought when I first got started with it. But it's really a lot of fun, and it's my biggest life accomplishment to finally get the truck done.
Yeah, definitely. So your truck's called the Crash Test Dummy. Why don't you give us a little backstory on how you came up with that name, and, you know, what inspired you to name the truck the Crash Test Dummy?
You know, I've actually kind of wondered the same question myself. The first, I guess, fascination with anything related to Crash Test Dummy, when I was a little kid, I was never really afraid of clowns or anything, but something about the crash test dummies from the 90s PSA commercials. I don't know if I was just, I was weirded out, but intrigued at the same time. Like, what in the heck? They're kind of weird and silly. But just as a kid, you know, like, I don't even get exactly what they are, those characters, but whatever. And then the first monster driver that I really got to connect with and network with when I was growing up was Frank Scatini. And he had a truck called Big Dummy, and his fire suit looked like a crash test dummy. And so that was kind of cool, and always loved that truck that Frank had. It was always new and innovative. Like, there's never been a truck like his, and every single truck he builds, it's completely off the wall, crazy, and it's always fun. And he's always a fun person to talk to and hang out with. So that was a little bit of the influence as well. And then a lot of it is just, it's very difficult to find an identity nowadays, especially with all the three concept bodies. And it's hard to make a pickup truck stand out and be different when there's trucks that look like dogs and dragons and everything else. And so with Crash Test Dummy, a lot of it was, yeah, it's something simple, pickup truck body, but I just felt like it had some character to it, and that there was a lot of possibilities to run with.
Oh, for sure. And you were talking about, you know, having your own identity, and, you know, when you drive for someone else, you're running their equipment, so you got to be careful with the truck. You got to treat the truck right. But, you know, having your own identity, what should the fans expect when Dallas Glenn Rogers hits the track with Crash Test Dummy? Is there a go-to move you want to do going on when this gets back and rolling?
I wouldn't say a specific go-to move. For me, when driving, it's always the most fun when you can basically clear your head and basically not focus too hard, but just go out, drive, have fun. Not necessarily when you overthink things, that's when it really becomes a handful. The best thing is to go out there and let adrenaline take over and just have fun. For me, I want it to be a workout when I drive. I don't want to get out of the truck and just be like, okay, you know, I drive so that when the run's over, I want to be amped up. I love that adrenaline feeling. And it, for me, I've always felt that when the adrenaline's going and you're able to clear your mind, that's when everything goes smooth. That's when you perform the best, and usually results in the least breakage, for me at least. When I'm thinking like, oh man, I don't want to hurt the truck, that's when you hit something, come up short, you know, on a tabletop, the back end lands on it, then the front slams down, you know, you're overthinking. Like, that's when things are a lot more difficult. When the adrenaline can take over, it's the greatest feeling in the world.
Oh, for sure. We have a comment from Mason Paul. He says, dude, how do you have a connection on that side of the shop?
I switched cell phone providers. That's how. I used to be completely impossible. It used to be impossible for me to get phone service right here where I am and anywhere on the property when I had T-Mobile. It used to be a joke. There was one corner, basically where my trailer is now, I could kind of get a little bit of signal. And then the crew house on the opposite side of the property at the left front corner of the porch, there was about like a 4 or 5 square foot area where I could get a little bit of signal. But thankfully now I don't have to worry about that anymore.
So you were talking about how you got your inspiration from your truck, you know, from Big Dummy and all that. So going through the industry like that, what do you think makes that so special? You know, seeing, you know, older trucks going like Leafers coming up to where we are now, you know, where we're going huge and still breaking parts, but not doing crazier stuff than we could have done way back then.
You know, it's awesome to see the evolution. I mean, when I grew up watching monster trucks in the late 90s. That's kind of what got me into everything. So there's a special place in my heart for like the Penda series and the old, a lot of those shows in the late 90s. But at the same time, seeing that progression and the evolution has been so cool because, I mean, yeah, there's part of me that would love to see all that stuff again, but another part, I can't wait to see the future. And really, a lot of people don't realize how much the trucks have changed. Even in the past 6 years since I first started building the truck to now, the trucks have changed so much. And I've had to change things on the truck as I build it, just because it's like, oh man, shoot, that's almost outdated now, and the truck hasn't even debuted, and things like that. So there's that constant evolution and constant progression, and that's what keeps the industry alive. It keeps it from getting stale and boring. It keeps, there's always something new, whether it's obvious or not, but the trucks are constantly getting better, safer, and really, I have no clue where monster trucks are going to go next. I mean, 15 years ago, I thought we had reached the peak of monster truck freestyle. It's like, man, freestyle is getting insane. And then it was just a few years after that, it's like, okay, this is as crazy as it can get. And I mean, when I first started building my truck, I would have never even guessed that the stoppies and the bicycles and stuff like that would be even be possible. I mean, I always thought like, man, a bicycle, that would be so cool, you know, but not really realistic. And next thing you know, it's something that you see at many, many shows is trucks doing bicycles. And then the moonwalks and stoppies is something that 5-6 years ago, people wouldn't have even thought that would be a real thing.
Oh, for sure. You know, we're going on to our next segment. This guy sees moonwalks and stoppies. He saw them all year until, you know, recently. But let's bring him on. It's Phil Vigenanza with his segment, Philosophy. Phil, welcome aboard.
Hey.
Good evening, guys. It's great to be here. It's always great to be hanging out with my man, Dallas Glenn Rogers.
What's going on, Phil?
Always good to see you, my friend. You know, you've helped me a lot over the years. You know, when I first got to be in a monster truck pit for the first time, you were down there, and you were a big part of that. And, you know, seeing your build of the crash test dummy, I remember I was out in Tacoma last year, and I just had to drive up to Bill's shop and see it for myself. And just to make sure you were actually building a monster truck and to see have debuted it since, it's been a great journey, and I've been happy to just be a little bit a part of it.
And it's been awesome to see you, especially coming up to the shop and everything. It's been really lots of fun, and seeing you from being just a young kid, being in the pits for the first time to where you are now, it's been pretty awesome.
Well, you never stop being a fan when you get involved with monster trucks, and you especially, you said you are a longtime fan. And looking at the list of trucks you've driven, obviously you've driven a lot for Bill Payne, and you have your own truck. The first truck you drove in competition is the Fired Up truck for the Ramers. What was that experience like? How did you get involved with Kelvin? And what was going through your mind as you were competing in a truck for the first time?
Well, my first time in a truck, it was different. I mean, the best thing that I guess that I had going for me is the fact that I had 6 months of ride truck experience before that. So that gave me the confidence and the drive even further to be in a race truck, because every time driving the ride truck, everything that I did, I was learning rear steer and I was getting familiar with visibility and then just how the truck reacts. And even though it is completely different, way less horsepower and not hitting jumps, it was something that was a great experience, just the actual driving around part and backing to the ladder. And it was just nonstop ride after ride after ride. And every single ride was monster truck driving experience. Even though it might not be the exact same as a race truck, it definitely helps. And the confidence boost, I think, was the most beneficial thing. So when I got the opportunity with the Ramers in Eureka, California, I was just amped up, ready for it, so excited. And I didn't put any pressure on myself. So that was a really nice thing, is just accepted, like, hey, I'm not here to set the world on fire. My job is to do decent, prove that I can handle the truck, prove that I can do my job. And just taking the pressure off of not having to go out there, set the world on fire and stuff. I think that helped a lot. And then Kelvin actually was a really good teacher when it came to driving the monster truck for the first time. Basically, before that, I hadn't driven a race truck, so did a display, moving the truck around a little bit for displays, and then there was one display, it was at a Walmart, but the next display was across the parking lot. The Walmart was part of a mall, and so basically, Kelvin told me to follow him. He was driving the hauler and basically being a pilot vehicle. And I had to go through this parking lot, learning rear steer and just getting a feel for the truck and shifting. And it was actually a really good learning experience just driving a race truck. And like, okay, this is different than the ride truck. And so it was something, it was a safe environment. There wasn't any safety hazards. There wasn't people around, but at the same time, I did have to maneuver and stay caught up with a hauler going through this parking lot. And that was a huge confidence boost. And then going out to pit party for the first time, after making sure the track was clear, Kelvin told me that he wants me to put my foot to the floor and just get used to that feeling of what it's like to be on the throttle of a monster truck. And I did that, and it was like, okay, that's what full throttle feels like in a monster truck. And went, parked, did pit party, and that first show was just absolutely fun. And during intros, it was hot intros, and everyone makes one hit during the intros. And when I made my first hit, came down, tapped the brakes, didn't land on the throttle, just listening to Kelvin's advice. And as I landed, that fired up truck, it's a great wheelie truck. And I hit the jump, came down, back tires on the downside of the racing lane, and I just felt a little bit of a rebound, got on it, and it's like, okay, that felt like I was getting close to a slap wheelie. And so after intros, wheelie contest, I decided I'm going to hit that exact same jump and try and do the exact same thing and see if I can get a wheelie or sky wheelie. And sure enough, that truck was able to land and then rolled into the throttle, and it went all the way to the wheelie bar. And I was so stoked and jacked up and confidence through the roof. And really, the first weekend, it was a lot of fun. And after show number two, Kelvin had to tell me to tone it down. And that was a big learning experience too, is not to let my ego go unchecked, and got to have mechanical sympathy for the trucks too. But it was an amazing learning experience. It was a lot of fun. Hold on one second.
Well, Dallas is recording his podcast in a live shop. Dallas, what's going on behind you?
Oh, there was an air compressor that decided to kick on, but just so happens the breaker switch is actually right next to me, so I was able to shut the air compressor off. But, of course, the air compressor always goes off when we're sitting, having lunch, and having conversations. That's when the air compressor wants to kick on, but we're good now.
Well, it's almost like a self-timer, I guess. Just make sure you're not, sitting down and, wasting too much time on your break. Looking at the list of trucks you've driven, obviously you've driven a lot for Bill Payne. You've driven trucks such as Identity Theft, Iron Man Stealth, California Kid, Reverse Racer, Willie Crash. and Spitfire. In fact, you were the debut driver of the Spitfire truck last year. What was that experience like? I know it was back up in Saskatoon where you debuted the crash test dummy. Your first driver of Spitfire is a very unique truck. What was that experience like?
You know, it was super cool, especially since Spitfire, I mean, for one, it's such a cool, unique truck, and it was one of those things. It was really cool to be able to debut a truck, because that's something, now I'm the only person that has debuted that truck, and that can't be taken away. So that was a really cool experience, and especially in Saskatoon. I mean, I've been there several times, and it seems like every time I go up there, it's a different truck. But no matter what, it's always a lot of fun. But the Spitfire truck is very unique, and it's different. The chassis is very similar to mine, but it's a left-hand drive truck, which is something a little bit different. But visibility is different. But my favorite thing is the fact that it can breathe fire. I mean, even inside the truck, strapped in, when you hit the fire, you can hear the crowd. And so that's really something that's a lot of fun about that truck.
And with Bill Payne's team, you know very well, there's a lot of unique identities of Spitfire. You've driven a lot of them, but is there one identity or one truck that you have never driven for Bill Payne that you would like to drive in the future or in the past?
Well, let's see. Trucks that I haven't driven for Bill, one would be Rockstar. I mean, of course, that's a holy grail of trucks, but at the same time, to drive Rockstar, your driving abilities have to be top-notch, and there's a reputation, and you got to be able to put on a great show. And of course, I'm always working towards being that person that can put on that great show. But there's huge, huge shoes to fill with Rockstar. But actually, here in the shop is a wall of trucks that have been here in the shop. And to be able to look at a lot of them and be like, oh, yeah, I've driven that one, and every single truck has its own memories and its cool quirks and everything like that.
Oh, absolutely. It's always great to have seat time in a truck, whether it's your own or for somebody else. You know, I saw in a comment earlier, somebody was asking our viewer, Rusty Roberts, who is your favorite driver to watch and perform?
Oh, man, that would be tough. It's almost impossible to narrow it down to one person, but I've always looked up to the driving of Cody Saucier. Just, he's able to put on such a great show, but he's so calculated, so controlled, and that respect for the equipment. Cody is someone, I remember the first time I ever met Cody, he was a crew chief for John Cesok in Batman in the Tacoma Dome. And so someone who knows the trucks inside and out, someone who not only understands the trucks, how they work, but respects the abilities of the trucks, and the fact that he can put on such a great show and he can outperform so many drivers out there and then drive the truck off the track. That's, to me, someone that can really drive. But at the same time, I love watching people like Ryan Anderson. Once again, the control he has over the truck, it's unreal. And Tyler Meninga, I got to see his very first season in a truck, and seeing him progress has been absolutely insane. So there's a lot of drivers out there. But, of course, watching Bill, I've seen Bill drive so much, and he's been really my mentor in getting in this industry more than anybody. So Bill, to me, especially as an independent, he is so high up there. Anyone who's seen Bill knows that he is a great driver in any truck that he drives. He can, when he double drives, he's always able to put on a great show. I remember when I saw him drive Don Frankish's Maniac truck, and it was impressive. It was the first time he had ever driven a rear-engine truck, I believe, and he was throwing it down, having a great freestyle run. So that's always fun, seeing drivers be able to adapt from one truck to the next. And then there's also guys like Larry Quick. When he goes out on the tracks, he just airs that thing out. And then Josh Gibson with Bigfoot, an amazing driver. But it's really tough to narrow it down to one specific driver.
Oh, for sure. And, you know, once we see Crash Test Dummy hit the track more, what is your goal for this truck? What is your end goal for the Crash Test Dummy?
The end goal is to have fun. Not only do I want to have fun, I want everyone sitting in the stands to have fun. And really, I've always said, I'm in the business of smiles. So, of course, I want business to go well, and I want to see everyone smiling.
Oh, for sure.
You know, you're on the road a lot. You know, you travel with Bill. Is there any memories that stick out to you on the road with, you know, whoever you're with that going, traveling with to that show, or, you know, just anything that really pops into your mind when you think of favorite, you know, memory on the road?
Oh, man. It's hard to think of one specific moment. I mean, being on the road pretty much so much of my life now. Every trip, there's always something new, something unique, whether it's there was this one trip. I'd never been to a Six Flags theme park ever. And so we're driving back to a show, and it kind of started out as just text messages to Bill between co-drivers. And we were all just kind of joking around like, yeah, we should go this route by Six Flags because we're going to Six Flags on the way back to the shop, right? And then, you know, just kind of egging them on. And then next thing you know, we're actually pulling up to Six Flags Magic Mountain, which, go figure, is basically across the street from Frank Scatini's place. But we get there, and it was, I believe it was right after the last show of the season, so it was in October or November, or maybe it was actually the beginning of the season, I don't remember, but we get there, and turns out it was closed. So that was one of the biggest disappointments, but something I'll never forget. Going to Six Flags Magic Mountain, and it was closed.
That's awesome.
And we're getting close to the rapid fire questions portion of the show. So, Dallas, how this is going to work? Me and MJ are going to ask you three questions each. We're going to switch off, and you just answer them rapid fire. So I'm going to start it off. Dallas, when you're on the road, what is your favorite restaurant or fast food to go to when you're on the road?
Really, it depends. Do so many shows in Canada, and the menu is a bit different in Canada than in the U.S. So in Canada, we always stop by Tim Hortons. For healthier foods, I try to avoid fast food if I can. I like to go to a place called the Chopped Leaf. It's really good. And then in the States, it's really tough to choose one specific place, but In-N-Out, it's always a great place. And of course, it depends time of day. I mean, sometimes after the shows, there's hardly anything open, but In-N-Out is always a good one when it comes to fast food.
In-N-Out's always the go-to for me as well. Great food.
Yeah. So my question, excuse me. Let's see. I forgot my question. Where is it? Oh, there we go. You know, you've been building your truck for X amount of years, so long. You're always working on trucks. You're always doing something. When there is that little bit of downtime that you rarely get, what do you enjoy doing during that downtime?
Well, as you said, downtime, it's very, very rare. One of the things I like doing is mountain biking at home. I don't get a lot of time at home, but when I'm there, I love to get on the mountain bike and go ride. And a big hobby of mine has actually been RC cars ever since I was a kid. And in fact, speaking of RC cars, got this right here. It's a ZRD RC, and the body on it was actually a gift from Jeremy Bunting, one of my
best friends that I've known forever. He gave that to me as a little bit of a work in progress. Want to paint the rims and the chassis and four links and all that, make it all spiffy and cool. I mean, not that it isn't already, but this right here, it's always lots of fun, but really it's tough to find time. But building Crash Test Dummy is kind of, it was for the past 6 years, what I do with my downtime is tinker on it, buy a part here and there, build this, build that. And so the truck did take up a lot of my free time, but yeah, mountain biking, RCs, and working on monster trucks, that's pretty much what I do.
Right. That seems fun. You know, I honestly was into RCs, and I think I had one of the old Traxxas Gravediggers, and I think those are discontinued now. But, you know, I had that, I broke it so many times, and I finally kind of just got over it, and it just sat, and I finally decided to sell it. But I honestly, RCs are honestly just, it's kind of the closest we can get to throttle therapy in this downtime, kind of, you know, because those things are so responsive.
And really, RCs are a real unique and cool way for people to learn more about the trucks mechanically. Even though they are different, there are things that are the same. Like when I was younger, I mean, in high school and stuff, I had a HPI Wheelie King, and I was tearing it apart, you know, to lock the diffs and breaking it, fixing it. And that, it gave me a good understanding of some of the basic mechanics and a good starting point. And I've actually used that as a way to help other new guys learn how things work and whatnot. Like Preston, when he was getting started, you know, I told him, well, with your next paycheck, get yourself a HPI Wheelie King. I'll show you how to lock the diffs. And it's cool to have something physical and visual to learn. I mean, are way different. The diff in an RC weighs a heck of a lot less and is a lot easier to change than one in a monster truck, but understanding some of the basic mechanics can be a good way to learn. And then after that, move up to more complicated things, whether it's project cars, whether it's a race car for the local dirt track, whatever it is, it's all about stepping stones. And every single day, you got to learn something new.
Oh, for sure. And does Dallas have any pre-show rituals? Like, do you have rocks in your shoe before the show? Like, what does Dallas do?
Pre-show rituals, I mean, aside from the general maintenance, nut and bolting the trucks, really, a lot of it is the mental game. Just trying to clear my mind, say a quick prayer before intros, and just clear my head of negative thoughts and worry, so that way I can go out there and have fun.
Oh, for sure.
You know, you guys are always on the road, and there's oftentimes you can't stop at a restaurant and sit down and have a meal. So oftentimes you're stopping at a truck stop. What is your go-to truck stop snack? We talked about go-to, you know, restaurant when you have the time to sit down, eat a meal, but you know, when you're in the middle of nowhere and there's just a random truck stop somewhere on the way to a show, what does Dallas get at a truck stop?
I think he's eating it right now.
Uncrustables.
I would say Uncrustables are probably my favorite, along with beef jerky.
Now are we talking Jack Link's, or what kind of beef jerky is Dallas getting?
Whatever I find.
There you go.
That's awesome.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, is there anything, you know, during the show that, you know, you're sitting in your truck, you're strapped in, you know, show's going on, is there anything, you know, do you plan your freestyles out when it happens? Because I know a lot of drivers say they'll plan maybe the first, second hit, depending on where the truck lands, they'll go from there. Do you have that same mentality, or is it just sending it, you know, anything goes when you go for a freestyle?
I try not to plan things out too much because it's not going to go according to plan. And it's something that is important to me and makes a big difference. So one of the things I feel, if you plan out too much, like, okay, I'm going to go from this jump to this jump, then you find yourself slowing down to create that path where I don't want to slow down. I want to go fast. I want to have fun, keep that energy going. And so to me, I feel that planning a run is detrimental because, I mean, take one weird bounce, you're facing a completely different direction. Really, it's just go with the flow, just have fun. And if you keep your ground game going good and, you know, just get from obstacle to obstacle, to me, that, I believe, makes for a better freestyle run than planning things out too much. I mean, I do look at the track and like, okay, well, land from this, you know, okay, a good next jump would be this. If not, is this possible? Oh, that's kind of a weird angle. You'd have to really check up hard to get around. And it's like, okay, that won't be a good transition from this to that. But overall, have a little bit of a plan and see, like, okay, well, this jump is steeper. It's going to be more height. This jump will land further out. So there is a little bit of planning that goes into it. But as for planning a route, I feel that it's detrimental. Maybe plan first hit or two. And then after that, it's hang on and have fun.
Right.
Oh, for sure. And we have one final question. I want to know, you know, you've driven a lot of trucks in your career, but a truck that really stands out to me is the California Kid. You know, I've heard a lot of stories from, you know, friends driving that truck. What's it like driving the California Kid with the short wheelbase compared to, you know, other trucks you've driven?
California Kid, when I first drove it, it was definitely intimidating. It was, for a while, it's like, that's one truck, you know, like, I'd prefer to drive any truck but that one. And then the first chance I got to drive it was an outdoor show, and it was a little bit of a struggle, definitely a learning curve. It was at Western Speedway, and then after that, the next show that I drove it was in Saskatoon, and that weekend, it was just not going to be nervous, like, hey, I've driven the truck before, and it's a small, small arena, so most important thing is safety, drive safe, but the intimidation of the truck was gone. I mean, Western Speedway, I broke quite a bit of stuff, broke shocks, champagnes, all kinds of stuff, but I guess one of the things that I guess kind of took away nervousness is that truck, the body wasn't in the best shape, so it's like, if it rolls over, it happens, you know. And I just kind of, Marvin Anderson, he is always giving me jokes like, oh, this is the weekend you're gonna have your first rollover, and it's like, I don't roll trucks over. And so that weekend I was being kind of arrogant about it, and so there's almost that expectation that it was gonna happen. So it's like, you know what, whatever, just gonna have fun. And I went out there, had fun, and in small arenas, the California Kid is so much fun. Love the way it turns, and of course being able to do the sky wheelies, ride it out. And that weekend, I felt like I did pretty decent. It was one of my better weekends, and I didn't roll the truck.
Definitely. So my last question, do you have any advice for, you know, anyone trying to get into this, you know, maybe announcing, wrenching on a truck, or, you know, maybe even, you know, getting behind the wheel. So, you know, do you have any advice for those people trying to, you know, get their foot in the door?
Well, there's no one single specific way to get your foot in the door. And also depends on what it is you want to do in this industry, because there's more than just being a driver, being a announcer. There's everything from crew guys to track crew, promoters. There's so many different things in the industry to do, and everything has its own path, and there's so many things, but above everything, it's hard work. You got to work hard. You can't let yourself get down over the small stuff. And one thing that I see a lot of people, a mistake is they're trying too hard to be famous. It's not really a industry for people to try and be a superstar necessarily. Like, there's some people, I feel like they have kind of a false expectation where they feel like, oh, well, if I put in, you know, this many hours in, I'm going to be on TV driving a monster truck, going to be so cool. Well, that's not what it's like. It's not about how, it's not really glamorous like people think it is. So understanding that, I think, is one of the biggest things. It's really about getting dirty. It's about working hard. It's long hours and constantly learning. I mean, there's some people where all they want to do is drive a monster truck, and I feel that some people, it's a distraction for them. They're constantly thinking so much about, oh man, I'm going to do this so that I can drive. I'm going to do this so that I can drive. And then they're distracting themselves from, I'm doing this because this has to get done, and then got to make sure this is ready, this has to be ready. They can be too distracted. But working hard and understanding business, not just the monster truck business, but business in general, got to understand how the real world works. One of those things that comes with maturity, and that's a big part of it. And just life experience. When people basically quarantine themselves indoors, even when there's not a pandemic going on, whether it's just staying inside playing video games all day, they're not experiencing how the real world works, and that can be tough. Really, just work hard and go out, do it, have fun. Just no matter what, just do stuff. Doesn't even have to be something directly tied to monster trucks, but just going out and doing it can actually be beneficial to developing as a person, and can help with social skills. And there's so many things in monster trucks. I mean, like right now, one day I might be a CDL truck driver. The next day I might be setting up sound equipment. The next day I might be building track and being a heavy equipment operator. There's so many skills to learn, and there's so many things to just go out there and do. But even at a young age, learning how to weld, learning how to do some construction work, learning how to work on your own personal vehicle, all of those things are great things that can help develop you as a person, that can eventually help lead you to being someone who can learn quick and understand how things work. And being a quick learner, that's very important. And the only thing that you can really do for that is have experience and to understand the real world.
I think that's the best advice you can give. So bravo to you, Dallas. I mean, I think we could all take something from that. Even myself, you know, you said some things that I can use, you know, in everyday life. So I appreciate the advice. And Phil, do we have any closing words before we end it out in a little bit?
No, you definitely said it, Vinny. You know, knowing Dallas for a while and seeing his progression from becoming a fan to being involved in the sport, he's really a perfect example of somebody that did follow their dreams and is doing everything right. Yeah, it's okay to make mistakes, but it's even more important to get up from those mistakes and make something out of it. And, you know, I think he just scratched the surface here with Dallas. I know he's got a lot more great stories, and you know, hopefully we can have him back on the podcast down the line in the future. It's always great to talk with Dallas, and it's always great to hear his insight on the monster trucks.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, before we end this out, Dallas, where can all our viewers and everyone who wants to see a little more behind the scenes with Dallas Glenn Rogers and the Crash Test Dummy Monster Truck find you?
Well, of course, social media is my Facebook page, the Crash Test Dummy Monster Truck page. Always try to keep updated as much as I can. I'm not a huge social media person. That's actually one of the areas where I personally need to grow, is learning more about social media. And then Instagram, of course, Crash Test Motorsports. Got to check out Instagram. And that's a great way to keep up with what's going on with myself and the Crash Test Dummy Monster Truck, but also the Straight Up Racing Facebook page. Being most of my time is spent with the Straight Up Racing team and working with them, that's actually, I think, probably more social media posts about me get posted on there than my own person. And that's kind of a good grasp of what I'm doing pretty much every day.
Oh, for sure. I want to thank you, Dallas, for coming on. And I have to say, I think this was a pretty solid episode. Like I said before, we're going to have, you know, more episodes on Friday nights. This is a very rare Saturday night episode. So, I mean, you know, this is just to kick off the podcast. And Dallas, do you have any closing words?
Well, just want to say thank you so much for having me on the show. I'm looking forward to seeing this podcast and the others grow, and hoping to see all you guys at more shows in the future. Always fun to see Phil, and then of course always fun seeing you, Vincent. Love giving you crap about stuff and getting dirty. And MJ, haven't gotten to meet you yet at a show, but looking forward to seeing you sometime down the road.
For sure Awesome. Can't wait to meet you, man.
Well, see you later, Dallas. I want to appreciate you coming on, and hopefully we can have you on again in the near future.
Thanks, Dallas. We appreciate you, man.
And with that said, we're going to show you guys what to expect next Friday night. You know, we're going to do something unique. We're going to bring on drivers from the West in every aspect. We want to cover it all. So, MJ, do you want to give them a little hint, or should we just show them the video?
I think we just show them the video.
I think you're right.
Where are you from?
That was the wrong video.
Bloopers.
Yeah, well, that's going on the blooper reel. We'll have that at the end of the season. But here you go. You saw right there the up-and-coming drivers. You saw Hunter Souza, Corbin Shockey, Mason Minner, and, of course, Shane Plato. They're going to be on next Friday night. You can see the up-and-coming drivers on the West. But, you know, I just want to say thank you sincerely from me and MJ and Phil, everyone who was on tonight. And we'll see you next Friday night at 6 o'clock Pacific time. Thank you all for coming out. See ya.